I want to draw your attention this morning in John's Gospel and the chapter 17. And we come this morning to the words in verse 17. Glorify thy Son. Glorify thy Son. And then the sense is repeated also in verse 5. Glorify thou me, asking for glory. That is our theme this morning. Our Lord's first petition, and the first petition is for himself. He prays for himself first of all. It is really the only thing that he prays for himself. We are upon his heart. All his petitions are for us. All his requests are for his people. But in order to pray for them, he must first of all pray for himself. And this is what he prays for himself, that he might be glorified. His glory is as necessary as his sufferings. The Bible predicted that Christ not only has to suffer these things, but he also has to be glorified. He's going to suffer. He's also going to have glory. But he prays for it. Glorify thy Son. You see, brethren and sisters, if there were only the sufferings, if that's all, if there was only the cross, and the cross and his suffering swallowed him up, how could we believe on him? How could we trust in him if he just suffered? If he just died? If he just knew the agony? And if there was no glory, how could we trust him? If he has no glory, how could we believe in him? If he has no glory, he has to have glory. You see, there were three crosses that day, at least three. There might have been others, but there were at least three crosses that day. Jesus of Nazareth died, and two criminals. Now, how do we know that Jesus was different? How do we know? All seemed to die in weakness. All seemed to die in agony, and all were laid in tombs. How do we know Jesus is different? Because he's glorified. That's how. Because this prayer is answered. There's a glory about Christ, a glory that he has received from his Father, a glory that he has prayed about. He has a glory. So the center cross, as we see, has a glory about it, an aurora around it, because he's prayed this. We also have to keep in mind that in this praying, he is praying as our mediator, as our great high priest. It's a great high priestly prayer. And taking our nature and becoming man and bearing our sins, he veiled the glory of his Godhead. But as mediator, he must be glorified so that we can be assured he is truly the Son of God, and that we can be assured that we can believe in him and trust in him. So he has to have this glory. And the prayer was heard, and I want to endeavor to show you this morning how it was answered, how the Father glorified his Son. There are four general areas in which the Father did this. First of all, the Father glorified his Son in and on the cross and through the cross. He glorified him on the cross. Even on the cross, Jesus is glorious. Even hanging in the tree in shame and agony, there is an aurora of glory about him. Because the Father has ensured that there's a glory about him. Even above his head, there is the inscription. This is Jesus, the King. Jesus, the King of the Jews. There's a glory about him. He's different from the others who are hanging on the trees. He's different from the thieves. You know, in John's Gospel especially, the cross of Christ is depicted as something glorious. The church fathers used to say that the cross was the Savior's throne. And it is. And it was. Because on the cross was the greatest displays of the glory of the Son of God. The Savior himself called the cross his lifting up. It was his lifting up. As Moses lifted up the serpent, so Son of Man must be lifted up. It's his lifting up. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. There'll be something glorious about my death. In my lifting up, there'll be an aurora about me that will draw men, that will draw all men to me. He's glorious in his death. So the Father has made the cross glorious. That center tree is different from the other two. Let me show you some of the rays of glory about his cross, which the two other crosses didn't have. I want you to consider the testimony of the judge Pilate, who condemned Jesus as well as the other criminals. But you know, whenever Pilate condemned Jesus, he did it against his conscience. He knew he was doing wrong. He knew that Jesus was different. He knew there was something about him that stood out. And that's why Pilate, he said, I find no fault in this man. Imagine crucifying someone you don't find any fault in. This is the Father glorifying his innocency, glorifying his sinlessness, protecting his righteousness, even as he hangs like a criminal on the tree. The judge said, I don't find any fault in him. And he washed his hands. He didn't want to crucify him. That's why he scourged him, because he thought if he scourged him, a terrible Roman scourging, they'll feel sympathy for him and he'll be able to let them go. But no. And against his conscience, he condemned him. And he said, his blood isn't on me, but it was. He didn't do that about the other two thieves. So the glory of Christ is seen in the judgment of Pilate. And then you remember the interference of Pilate's wife. But this woman had a dream during the day. And she had to send to Pilate in public, in the middle of his duties. And she had to say, don't you have anything to do with that just man? That was a father, preserving the glory of his righteousness. He's a just man. He's not like the other two. And then there was the suicide of Judas. Judas Iscariot, who knew him, who lived with him for 3 years, who heard his words and saw how he lived, and who, because he didn't get on in his ambitions the way he would have liked, betrayed Jesus Christ. But it got to his conscience, as it always will when you do wrong. It got to his conscience, and he says, he went to the temple and he threw the money down. He says, I've betrayed the innocent blood. There's a glory around the center tree. The glory of his righteousness. The glory of his righteousness. And then there was the dying thief. One of them was blind. He couldn't see the glory. But the Lord opened the eyes of one of the other thieves, and he could see the glory. Lord, he could see that he was the Lord of glory. And he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. So there's a glory around the center tree, and by faith, the dying thief could see it. The Father gave him glory, even on the cross. The dying thief rejoiced to see. And then consider what's happening in that center tree. He's bearing sin. There's something mysterious happening which we can't understand, but it's the very grounds of our salvation, that the Father is imputing to him our sins. Our sins, all our vile sins that would take us forever and ever in hell to bear, all our vile sins and the mystery of grace are being imputed to Jesus Christ. He's dying for our sins. There's a glory about him, the glory of the sin bearer, the glory of the substitute, the glory of the Lord of glory as the Savior of his people. There's a glory about that middle tree. It's his throne. It's the theater for the greatest displays of his glory in the universe. Justice and righteousness meeting each other in peace and grace, all of them coming together. There's a glory at the cross. Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So he's on the cross as a high priest dying for our sins, and he glorified not himself, but him who said to him, Thou art my son, Father, glorify me. He's doing it on the cross. And then whenever you consider the miraculous signs that accompanied Calvary, you can see the glory. There's the darkness. You know, there's something mysterious about that darkness. The astronomers can't explain it. Because you see, when the sun goes out, the stars shine. But there was darkness over all the land. It was the night the lights went out. And there was a darkness, a thick darkness over all the land. And it lasted for 3 hours. Which no eclipse of the sun ever does. Only lasts a few minutes. There's a glory. There's something different at the cross. This middle tree stands out. And then there was the earthquake and the ground trembling. And then there were the rocks that rent. And then there was the resurrection of the saints, some of the saints in Jerusalem. And then there was that great miracle of the tearing of the veil from the top to the bottom. What a sign! As the great high priest himself goes right into the presence of his Father at his death, that the veil's rent in two. There's a glory about the cross. The glory about the cross. And then there's the sign of the water. The water and the blood. John says, I saw it. There wasn't just blood. There was water. It's different. Glorify thy son. I will. I will, my son. I glorify you in your lifting up. And then there was the confession of the centurion. Imagine the Roman centurion. Whenever he saw, and all them that were there saw these things, the Roman centurion feared greatly, and he said, Truly, this was the Son of God. Give me a glory even when I die for the sins of my people. And the Father heard him, and he glorified him on the tree. But the Father not only glorified his Son on the cross, the Father glorified the Son in the crown that he gave him. You see, Jesus has died on the cross, and in the tomb his body lays. Just like the other two thieves. We don't know where they were buried. They're probably buried in common criminals' graves, but the Lord Jesus was taken into a tomb, a special rich man's tomb. Is he any different from the other two? Yes. He has prayed, glorify thy son. And the Father hears him. And that prayer is heard. And the guards stand outside the tomb. It's shut and it's sealed. But the glory of God comes into it. The glory of God comes into the tomb. And he's raised up by the glory of God. The Father's glory raises him up. Glorify thou me with thine own self. And the Father's glory comes into the tomb and raises him up. Prevents the corruption of his humanity. And he's shown to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. He's not like the other two. He's the Son of God. And he's raised. He's glorified in his resurrection. And so he lives on the power of an endless life. And he's been raised up whereof the apostles were all of them witnesses. And he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I have the keys now. I went down into the tomb, and I trod on the serpent's head, and I took the keys off him, and I'm the one with the keys. He's the Son of God, raised from the dead. But that's just the first stage in getting. He has to be raised to get the crown. But there's another stage. He ascends. Visibly before the witnesses of his apostles, he ascends up into a cloud. And the cloud is a glorious cloud. And then they can't see him anymore. And he goes away to glory. And the Bible tells us what happens in heaven. Heaven's gates open up. And the King of Glory comes in. And the angels say, "Who is the King of Glory? Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts, he is the King of Glory." And he comes right in. And he comes to the Father. And the Lord Jesus says, "Father, glorify thy Son." That's what he prays. And the Father says to the Son, "Sit thou at my right hand." Sit here, my Son. Sit here on my throne with me. In your humanity, sit here. Let all the angels see you in your glorified humanity. And let all the triumphant church see you in your humanity, sitting here on the throne with me. He's glorified in the crown. In the crown. He receives honor and glory. Honor and glory. And all hell's aware of that. The Son's glory. And the church triumphant sees it. And the angels see it. And we see it by faith. It's as real to us. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. We have the substance and the evidence because we see it by faith. He has a crown. Crowned with glory now. His prayers heard. So the Father's glorified him in the cross. The Father's glorified him in the crown. But you know, in this day of grace, the Father has glorified him, is glorifying him, and shall yet glorify him in the church. This prayer's heard in the church. It's heard here this morning. It's being answered here this morning. He's being glorified in the church. Now, we have only to look at the church and what goes on in the church, in the body of Christ, to see that this prayer has been answered. Now, I know that the visible church is full of imperfections. We know that, brethren and sisters. And the scaffolding is up all over the place. And we know the church doesn't look perfect and it doesn't look right. But it is a glorious church because of Christ in it. One day the scaffold will be taken down. And you'll see then that it's a glorious church. But we have to see beyond the scaffolding, all the faults and all the mistakes of the saints. We have to see beyond that and see what the church is going to become. But one thing that we can see now, even with all the scaffolding, we can see that Christ is glorified in the church, that this prayer is heard. We have the presence of the Holy Ghost. The prayer's heard. We have the Holy Spirit with us week by week. We have His witness in our hearts when the word's proclaimed. That's the glory of Christ. When the Spirit of God is among us, He's given us His Spirit. The Comforter has come. And He convicts. And He converts. And He works in us. And the Holy Spirit is proof that Christ is glorified, that this prayer has been heard. But not only do we have the Holy Spirit in the church as proof that Christ is glorified, we have the New Testament scriptures. We have this book. This book is central in our church. The pulpit is central in our church. And what's the pulpit for? It's for the Word of God and it's for the Scriptures and for the preaching of the Word. We have this New Testament and the Gospels and the Epistles and the Book of Revelation because the Father's glorified the Son. If the Son just died like the other two, if He just rotted in the tomb, We would have no New Testament. We would have no Holy Spirit. There would be no church at all. But because he's been glorified, we have the Gospels, and the beautiful Gospels where we see the face of our Lord Jesus. And then we have the epistles. Not only the Gospel where we see his life and his death and his resurrection, but we have the epistles where we have all the theology of his person and of his work. He's glorified among us. The prayers heard in giving us the New Testament. And then we have that glorious book of the Revelation. As if the Son of God prayed, Father, glorify thy Son. And the Father gave him a book. And he received the revelation. And Jesus Christ gave that revelation unto his servant John. And you know what the book of Revelation is? I know people see all kinds of things in it. But you know what the main thing in the book of Revelation is? It's the glory of the Lamb of God. The glory of Christ. Glorify thy Son. And so we have the New Testament. And then we have the centrality of Christ in our worship and then in our preaching. What are we going to do afterwards? We're going to look at the Lord's table and sit there. Why? Because he prayed, Father, glorify thy Son. And we worship him every week. We worship him every month at the table. And we worship him every week in our praying and in our singing and in our reading of Scripture and in our preaching of the Word. We worship Christ. We exalt his name. We lift him up. Why? Because he prayed, Father, glorify thy Son. And he's being glorified in the church. And every week we meet, we preach Christ. We extol his name. We lift him up. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He's being glorified among us. He's being lifted up in the preaching of the word. Because this prayer has been heard. And in his name, the gospel's going out among the nations. And people are going among the Islamic peoples and they're bringing the name of Jesus. And there's people in Israel and they're witnessing to the Jews and they're bringing the name of Jesus. And this glorious name of Christ is spreading abroad into all the earth. He's been spoken about for 2,000 years in every land and nation and among all kindreds and by every language and tongue. Why? Just because he's a mere man who died on the tree? No. Because he's the Son of God who prayed, Father, glorify thou me. And the Father glorifies him in the church. That's why the church is different from a synagogue. In the synagogue, Christ isn't glorified. But in the church, he is. And brethren and sisters, let's make sure that we keep that. The glory of Christ. The centrality of Christ. The lifting up of the Son of God always among us. Glorify thy Son in the cross. Glorify thy Son with the crown at thy right hand. Glorify thy Son in the church which I shall build over the thousands of years. And lastly, he will be glorified in his coming again. He'll be glorified then. For the Son of Man shall come, we read this morning. He'll come in the glory of his Father. Father, glorify me with thine own self. And it's heard. And when time ends and he bursts through the clouds and comes back to earth again, he'll come in the glory of his Father because his prayer's been heard. His prayer's been heard. And he comes in the glory of his Father. And he bursts through the sky and he's going to give every man according to his works. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even them who pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. They'll see the glory then. They'll see that this prayer was answered. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes mourn, and they'll see him coming in power. And great glory. glorify thy Son. When he raises the dead, when he, as it were, above the earth, calls to the dead and raises them, he's the glory to raise the dead. And then he'll gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. Oh, what glory! The glory of the Son of God. What a sight that will be. As the wicked and the reprobate, they see all the elect being gathered to the right side like sheep, gathered to his side. The glory. The glory which you've given me, I pray that they'll see it. And we will. We will. And we won't have to have faith anymore. It'll be sight. We'll see it. What an answer to this prayer. This is a great prayer. And then there'll be the great judgment. And who's sitting on the throne of judgment? It's the Lord Jesus. All the glory of the Father. That man of Calvary. That one who has a nail-pierced hands and has the scarred head and the wounded side. That one is on the throne. What glory. They who pierced him will know it. They'll see him. And everything that had breath will know the Father has given glory to the Son. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess. And all men will tremble. And they'll say, he's the Lord of glory. When they crucified him, they didn't see it. They crucified the Lord of glory, but they didn't see it. But they'll see it then. So this prayer is heard, is being heard, and shall be heard. Let us also pray this prayer. You know, there is no better thing that we could ask God. When we come together every week, what do we pray for? This and that and the other. Pray for the glory of Christ. Father, glorify your Son among us. Doesn't matter what people think about us. Doesn't matter what they say about us. We don't care. Father, just you glorify your Son among us. Have the preeminence among us. Lift up Christ among us. And child of God, you live for the glory of Jesus. And you pray this. And whenever you pray for the conversion of sinners, what do you pray? You pray, Father, show them the glory of your Son. They'll not believe until they see his glory. How can you believe in someone who just died on a tree in weakness? You have to see the glory to believe in him. The risen glory and the ascended glory and the present power and glory now. And so we have to pray, Lord, let sinners see the glory of the Son of God. And only the Holy Spirit can show them that. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, Peter. My Father has. And we have to pray, Father, show sinners the glory of your Son. And you who are unconverted, who don't know the Lord Jesus, who have never seen his glory at all, and hardly know what you're trusting in, if you're trusting in anything, he is the only glorious Savior. You need to see his glory. And you need to pray, Lord, show me your Son's glory. And you need to believe in him and trust in him. He's a glorious Savior, able to save to the uttermost. You need to believe in him. And I have to warn you, sinner, about dishonoring him. Crown him. Honor him. Exalt him, crown him Lord of all.